Well, happy Father's Day, everybody. Well, not everybody, the dads probably. You know, did I come up too soon? Are you sure? Josh, thank you for understanding. Anyway, so we've been having a lot of fun around here today. We did have that medical emergency, but like I said, as far as I know, he's doing well, so praise God for that. It's so good to know and understand that's the case. But as we are here on Father's Day, I just want to reflect for just a moment, because it's understandable that in a room this size with all of these people, some people have had good fathers and some have had not so good fathers, right? As we look at our lives and understand where we've all come from, that is the story. But let me say this. We have a heavenly Father who is perfect, right? And whether your father was good or whether your father was not so good, we have to understand that our heavenly Father is perfect and he loves you dearly. Don't let that slip by today on this Father's Day. Yes, celebrate the dads in your life, but remember you have a heavenly Father that's perfect and loves you deeply. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to this world to die in your place. He is perfect. And on this Father's Day, I think it would be appropriate if you paused and thanked him for his work in the world and his work in your life to bring you to where you are today. That, as I've been reflecting on Father's Day, I've been thinking about God, and it's almost overwhelming. So just one more thing before I really jump in. We have something really cool happening in two Sundays. We're having a family service, which we do the fifth Sunday. Every time there's a fifth Sunday, that's what we do. And the elementary kids and middle school and high school kids will be in here with us. It'll be a family slanted service. We have some really cool stuff planned. But even beyond that, there's child dedications that day. We're honoring our high school graduates that day, which I always love. I know there's a number of them in grads. Well done. I know we don't want to celebrate you just yet because you haven't actually, no, there's still time for you to mess it up, but hopefully not. But on that day, we'll celebrate our grads, and we'll also have food trucks in the parking lot in the back, so come ready for that. We'll have a Cold Stone truck, if you like Cold Stone. We'll have cotton candy. I know nobody likes cotton candy, but they're really, it'll be great. And then we have O'Brien's over in the village coming over and setting up and doing food. So be ready for that on the 30th as we celebrate and get together. You bring a chair, sit, stay a while, and we'll fellowship with each other. Hopefully, it'll be a day just like this. So as we continue in our series we're calling Road Trip, I have to ask this question, and I hope this doesn't go badly. What is the one thing, if you're a parent, what is the one thing your kids have said repeatedly on a road trip? Are we there yet? That line sends shivers down the spines of most of us, doesn't it? You know, we were even reflecting with my children yesterday and about that line, and they said, "Dad, we just used to say it to upset you." Right? Didn't you say that? They're shaking their heads. Yes, it was sort of the thing. Are we there yet? Are we there? And I used to say, "Yes, we're there," because I was so frustrated.
Are we there yet?
Who was that? Oh, no, I opened a can of worms. This is the best service ever. So, I'm having flashbacks to road trips right now. I don't know what to do. I'm caught in the middle of the tension of wanting to yell back in the back seat. Stop asking that question. I knew it. I shouldn't have done it. So, as we're on this journey, we're on our journey of sanctification, talking about what it looks like to be more like Jesus. And the question we're going to ask this morning, where am I on my journey to look or becoming more like Jesus? If there's my whole life is this continuum where I'm progressing to being more and more like Jesus, where am I in the journey? What does it look like? And one of my favorite things on a road trip is actually, this sounds pretty boring, but it's true. I love watching the mile markers fly by and counting down as they come. Anybody else just love watching the mile markers? Because usually in my car, most of the people are either asleep or listening to music, and I find myself alone on a road trip, just sort of sitting there behind the wheel, tooling along. And the road markers keep me company in some strange way. But I love watching them as the miles go up or down, depending on which way you're going, and sort of keeping track of where I am in the journey. And today we're going to look, especially in the book of Galatians, at mile markers that are present in the scriptures that will help us know how far we are on our journey, because the reality is some of us are really far in our journey towards being more like Jesus, towards sanctification, towards becoming holy. There are some young people who are well on their way, and there are some older folks who are well on their way. But then there are others who are caught, and they're not really engaging, and there may be people who have been following Jesus for decades who are no closer to sanctification than they were the day they accepted Jesus, because they're stuck. And as we investigate and look at Galatians today, we'll see why some people become stuck. And in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we have what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you've been in Sunday school all throughout your life or at any point, you probably have a song that helped you remember the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love, joy, peace, forbearance, often called patience in other translations, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things are referred to the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruits, plural. They're all part of the same fruit. They're all part of what it looks like to be more like Jesus and live differently in this world. And such things, against such things, there is no law. And I'm going to use these as mile markers to help us along our journey to figure out how close we are to having love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control present in our hearts. Because what happens to so many people, and so many people say, well, I'm good on three of them. I must be doing all right in my faith journey. I really have this joy and peace thing down, and I have some kind of patience, so I'm good, right? That's not what the scripture's saying. The scripture is saying clearly in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit entails all of those things, and as followers of Jesus, all of those should be present in our lives every day. Every day. Those are the mile markers to figuring out how close are you to becoming more like Jesus in your life. Do you actually have love, joy, and peace in your life all the time? Do you display patience to those around you? That might be one of the hardest ones for me. Do you actually show the world kindness and goodness? Are you faithful to those in your life? Are you gentle? On Father's Day, that's a good one to ask, dads. Are you gentle with your family, with your kids? And how about self-control? How are you doing in self-control? Because as we identify the fruit of the Spirit and understand that as we become more like Jesus, those become more a part of what we do, we have some work to do, don't we? It's not good enough to say, well, I'm 60% of the way there. I guess that's good enough. No. The scripture makes it clear that all of the fruit of the Spirit are to be present in our lives. As followers of Jesus, we don't get to choose which one, two, three, or four we want to work on. They are all supposed to be part of who we are. And there's no law against these things. They are who we are. So I struggle with that sometimes, don't you? Just be honest. Isn't that hard? It's really hard. But if those are the mile markers along our journey towards sanctification, we really have to look at them and say, do I display joy in my life? Would those around me say I'm a joyful person, or they say, nope, not at all? We're getting there. Would people in your life say that you are full of peace? And I think as we think this way, we need to do an inventory of our lives. And this is the beautiful part about this. You are not on a journey by yourself. You don't get peaceful by trying harder. That's the wrong way to do it. You experience peace in your life as you're transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, which lives in you. If I try to be more peaceful, I will be miserable because I won't. But as God transforms me and works in my life, that's where the peace comes from. As you follow Jesus, you're not supposed to do it by yourself, thinking, I'll do better, I'll try harder, I'll get there on my own. That's the wrong way to look at it. We experience these things in our life as the Holy Spirit empowers us and opens us up to new impossibilities. If Jesus died for your sins and they were nailed to the cross, then he can bring about peace in your life. He can. Because if we say he can't bring about peace in our lives, we're saying that all of what he did was for nothing. And that's not who we are. We are commanded to have all of these things present, and you're not alone on the journey. And then Paul goes a little further in Galatians. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to this, don't let these words just wash over you. Those who have belonged to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As we are in Jesus, our passions and desires are to be nailed to the cross, and they're no longer to guide us and direct us as we become new creations in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. The old way of thinking, the flesh that once drove you to do the crazy things you've done, when you believe in Jesus, the old is gone and the new has come. You're a new creation with the Holy Spirit living in you, empowering you to live different than the world. Why do so many Christians, and just picture people, maybe it's you, why do so many of us look exactly like the people in the world? Because we don't live this out. We don't believe it's possible. We don't believe that you who were once not a joy-filled person can be. We say, I can't get there, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can and you will if you trust him with all of your heart. You can. And as a pastor, this is one of our major counseling points. People say, that's not possible. I can't become more like Jesus each and every day and give up all willful sin. And my answer is, yes, you can. It's a decision to let the Holy Spirit change you and work in you, but you can live differently than others in the world. It's not a pie-in-the-sky idea. It's available to each and every one of us. If you look at the New Living Translation, it says, follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In every part. Follow the Spirit's leading. So then it's interesting that it's right before Paul goes into the fruit of the Spirit. And in verse 22, he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is, when there's a but, there must be something before it. That sounds awful. There must be something before it that leads to him saying, but you have to consider the fruit of the Spirit. And in earlier in Galatians, we see what it looks like to not walk with the Lord closely. These are mile markers that will head you in a different direction. Paul writes earlier in Ephesians, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. That's really hard. When you follow Jesus, you are not to do whatever you want. There's a different set of rules for those of us who follow Jesus. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul does a beautiful thing here. He lays out exactly what it looks like to have the fruit of the Spirit present in your life. But before he does, he says, don't live like this. Don't be filled with sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Let those things fall by the side. And I'm willing to bet, I stated earlier that some people grow in their faith and others don't. You know why people don't grow in their faith and become more like Jesus? Because they're not willing to let go of the sin that has grabbed their hearts. Some people say fits of rage, that's fine. Why can't I be a rageful person? You need to let that go. The one on this list that I think has gripped our society more than just about any other is sexual immorality. I think people get so tossed by the wave of culture and what's on television and what's displayed everywhere you look that you think that is normal. It is not. One man, one woman for a lifetime. It's easy. But we make it something that it's not, and it becomes immoral and sexually immoral, and it separates us from God. And why do people get stuck? One of the things I hear, you know, you don't go deep enough in church. The things you're doing, I'm not growing. I'm not getting all I can out of a service. I'm not really becoming who I should be in Jesus. And I want to say to them every time, what is the hidden sin in your life that is holding you back from experiencing Jesus? Because I don't think it's necessarily what happens here that holds people back. I think it's when we grab a hold of our sin and we get stuck. If we're on a road trip, we get stuck in a rest stop or in the driveway. We don't even make it out of the driveway because we don't want to let go of our sin because we like it so much. Now, don't answer this out loud, but answer it in your head. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you're engaged in whatever it is and you're like, I can't give it up. I'm a rageful, jealous person, and that's just who I am. It doesn't have to be who you are. And if you want to be on a journey to becoming more like Jesus, you need to do an inventory and say that these things are not who I am. You know, one of the worst, I don't know what to call them, the worst lights, I think they're called idiot lights, actually, that pops up on your dashboard is this one. Have you ever seen that light on your car? What does that mean? Check engine. What does it really mean? Oh no! Right? You're in trouble. If you're in the middle of a road trip and that thing pops up on your dashboard, you better tend to it pretty quickly. It may be nothing, it may be a sensor, or it could be catastrophic. But when that light, it's gone, when that pops up on your dashboard, you know you need to do something quickly. Through him, Jesus is calling us to acknowledge that all that is holding us back and that is keeping us stuck, we have to acknowledge all of it. All of our sinful nature, warning signs, nail it to the cross. He died for all of it. He died for all the sins you're committing that you don't want to admit to anybody that are holding you back from living in the fullness of who Jesus is. He died for all of them. Why do we hold on to them and say, I want this more than I want Jesus? Why do we do that? It stunts your growth. It holds you back from being who God created you to be. Our sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit are at odds with each other. They can't exist in the same place. And which do you want to have? Do you want to be filled with sin or do you want to be filled with the Spirit? I hope you say the second. I hope you say that I understand that I do things and I act in such ways that pull me away from my Savior. And this might be the chance as we're talking about sanctification to say, you know what? I no longer want to willfully sin. If there's something that I'm doing that's holding me back, I finally want to, with the power of the Holy Spirit and Him with you and accountability in your life, to turn from that sin and say, God, I am all yours. I don't want to be mastered by whatever's been dragging you down. Do you understand? Amen. Because when we hold on to that, it stunts our growth. What it really comes down to is that we love ourselves and our desires more than we love God when we don't let go of those things. What it really means is that I think I know better for my life than Jesus knows for my life. What we're saying is, God, I don't need you because I love my sin more than I love you, and I'm okay with that. That's a dangerous position. It's one that will ultimately tear you apart. I have seen. Listen. Your sin will find you out. I have seen people who thought they were hiding from their sin and they were committing sin in silence in the dark shadows of their lives and that it would never come to the forefront. I've sat with them as they have wept because their sin was found out and they didn't know what to do. I've counseled the people who have been hurt by the sin of others and their lives are destroyed. That's what happens when we think we know better than God and we do things on our own and try to push him off to the side. We are hurting ourselves. And ultimately the people we love dearly. But when we shed that sin and say, God, your ways are better for my life than I imagine, when we get to that place, then we can be free from that and we don't have to live with that guilt in our hearts any longer. So let me ask you this question. Where are you on your journey of becoming more like Jesus? Where are you? As I spoke about the fruits of the Spirit, are there one or two or three that you realize, you know, I'm really in trouble here? I'm the least joyful person I know. I'm quick to anger. As I talk about the things that we're supposed to flee from, are you sitting there saying, you know what? I drink way too much. And as I drink, it hurts people in my life. Are you sitting there saying, you know what? I have unresolved sexual sin in my life that hampers who I am as a follower of Jesus. And maybe this is the call for you to say, I am going to release that so that it will no longer hamper me and hold me back. If we're serious about becoming more like Jesus and living holy in this world, we need to do some serious self-examination and make sure that these things are not present in our lives. Do you agree? My challenge today is to release it all. Release it all. You know if you have unconfessed sin in your life. You know right now. You know if you've been holding on to something and you understand that in your mind and in your heart, you know if it's been holding you back from truly knowing who Jesus is. You know it. Let it go. Nail it to the cross. Say, Jesus, I trust you in your ways, not my own thinking and thoughts. I want to follow you, and I don't want to be mastered by my greed any longer. I don't want to be mastered by my impure thoughts any longer. I want you to be my king. Maybe you need to be more peaceful, full of self-control. Maybe that is your issue, and you need to say today, God, I trust you. You know, as I've been here over a number of years, I've seen people who have got it. I've seen those who have said, I no longer want sin to be my master, and I've seen them walk in freedom. And I've wept over people who love their sin more than they love God, who aren't willing to release it. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. As we shed that, we become more like our Savior. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, since the fruit of the Spirit is available to us and it can be in us and we can live by those things, let us grab a hold of that and not the ways of the world. Can you imagine what it would be like around here if we all took that seriously? as we all truly understood what it was like to live by the Spirit. It would transform Revive. I want you to understand two things as we wrap up. First, shame is not of God. If you hear this and you're feeling shame, that is not at all the reaction I'm going for. What I hope you do, as opposed to feeling shame, is to release your sin to God. The enemy wants you to feel shamed and unworthy and like you should never come back here again. And I say, on the contrary, this is exactly where you should be. Because as you are here, as we learn and grow together, you will gain tools to help you to be free from your sin so that you are no longer encumbered by the things of the world. So don't let shame master you. Throw that away and trust in our Lord. And the second thing you need, if you're struggling with any of those, is accountability. You cannot do this by yourself. You cannot live a life that pleases God in all areas if you do it by yourself. Jesus had 12 people around him and then many others around them. They did this together. You need people in your life to feed into you, to hold you accountable, to love you no matter where you're at. And at Revive, we feel the best way to do that is in the context of a community group, a group of friends gathered together, meeting regularly, who study the Word. They focus on God and they come around each other and love each other in the name of Jesus. Many of you are in community groups. There are some and many who are not. This fall, we are going to form as many new community groups as we can. And if you are thinking about or you've thought about over time, how do I get into a group? You can text the word group to our church phone number. We're creating a list of people who want to get into groups. If you are looking for people to do life with and walk with in that way, text group to our church phone number, 716-649-6335. And the form will come up and we'll ask for some information, but then we'll hold that. And we're going to train new group leaders in August so that in the fall we can form, I'm hoping, 10, 15, 20 new groups, maybe more, of people who are doing life together. I have to throw this out here too, because this is one that we don't commonly talk about. We have a group called Freedom Group. It's a group for men who are struggling with pornography and other things in their world. And they meet regularly, they meet weekly, and they discuss and hold each other accountable to what's going on in their life. Now, if you're interested in that, you can go to revivewesleyan.com and there's more information on Freedom Group and how you can get plugged in so that you can help break the grip of pornography on your life so you can become more like Jesus. We have a group called Alcoholics Victorious, or AV, that meets and helps each other if you struggle with alcohol to figure out how to beat that power in your life. You can't do it by yourself. We have a group called FV, or Families Victorious, that is similar to an Al-Anon, but it's the families of those who have someone struggling with alcoholism. Maybe you need to go there because a loved one in your life is just a disaster and you don't know what to do and you need support and help. More information about all of those are on our website, like I said, at revivewesleyan.com. Check them out, and they will help you on your journey as you beat those things in your life and find freedom. It's so important that you do. We're on a road trip to figure out what it looks like to live a holy, set apart, sanctified life. But you're not alone. We're going to do this together. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to help each other get to the place where willful sin is no longer a part of who we are. You are not alone. You have us, but more importantly, the power of the Holy Spirit is present. It wants to help you on your journey, to get you from where you are today to a place where you can live not committing sin, where you can get to the place where the desires of the flesh and the sinful nature no longer has a grip on you, and you can release it all to Jesus. Because I have to believe that if Jesus died for our sins, he died for all of them. And we should not hold on to any of them. And he is powerful enough to take it and to help you heal and to find wholeness in your life. He just is. So as we're on our road trip, the initial question I asked way at the beginning, where am I on my journey to becoming more like Jesus? Where are you? I hope that you've identified maybe something you need to work on or a step you need to take, signing up for a community group or something else that's happening around here. For high school students, maybe it's engaging in the student ministry of our church, signing up for NTS. I think there's still room to go to summer camp and engage in that way with the student ministry, or whatever it is, but don't sit still. Take a step towards holiness. Take a step toward releasing your sin. Take a step toward embracing the fruit of the Spirit and letting that be how you are known. And we're on this journey together. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for these words in Galatians, which are hard and encouraging at the same time. Father, I pray that as a church, we would be able to shed the things of the world, the desires of the flesh, the things that hold us back, and that you would focus our hearts and our attention on you so that we can become more like you each and every day of our lives. Help us to shed the sins that so easily entangle our hearts and hold us back and release them to you so that we can experience your goodness and your presence in our lives. Lord, we don't want to live in such a way that is contrary to you. We don't want to put other things before you. So help us to live in such a way where we don't. Through your Holy Spirit working in us and transforming us, help us to become more like our Savior, holy and perfect. We love you. We thank you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude with one more song, and I'll tell you what, this one, we're going to get you up and out of your seat, and if you've been sleeping, you better not anymore. If I put you to sleep, the song will wake you up. So why don't you stand where you are as we worship and conclude our service praising our God this morning.